on the table where we have some books and so on is a letter from the Benokas. If you want to take a look at that as you have opportunity, just a thank you for their time here 2 weeks ago. Let's go ahead and turn to Psalm 141. Psalm 141. We are reaching the end of this, but it's still going to be May before we get there, but we're getting there. This psalm, now I tell you what, we hear all kinds of sermons and so on worry and fretting and don't do that and it's not right. And I'll let you know that, if you haven't figured this out yet, you go through the Psalms and if you were to pick 5 or 6 people from the Old Testament that you think are the paragons of what somebody ought to be as far as their relationship with God is concerned, David would probably be one of those 5. And yet you see a whole lot of what you see here in verse 1 as you read through the Psalms. He says, Lord, I cry unto thee. Make haste unto me. Give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. God, I need your help and I need it right now. I am in dire need. Give me some help right now. And there's some urgency. There's some, I think that we see some anxiety here. Some fretting perhaps. Lord, the situation is requiring your attention and not, I don't mean tomorrow. I mean like, not even later today, like right now. It needs to be done right now. I need your intervention. I need your help. I need something now. And he's not taking the approach of, and God, you better hurry up and take care of this. It's a pleading type thing. But there's urgency here. Lord, hurry. I'm calling on you. I need you to listen. Please pay attention. And yet prayer is an act of worship. Understand that even when we're making requests, we often divide up our at least in our thinking, we divide up our prayers to this is the praise and worship aspect of prayer, where we give thanks, and we'll talk to God, Lord, we thank you so much for who you are, for what you've done, for our salvation, for past requests met, for good health, for taking care of this need, and we have a tendency to, that's the worship aspect. Now, here's my shopping list. And Lord, here's the things I need. I'm praying for other people. Here's some things that are on my personal list. I'm dealing with this. I'm praying for this opportunity. Lord, there's a financial need. There's a health need. There's, whatever the case may be. And we have a tendency to, this is not part of worship. The first part, the praise and thanksgiving, that's worship. This part over here, this is our request. And understand that your request aspect of it is not necessarily devoid of worship. Our time with God, ...95% easily of my time with God is requests. As I pray for you folks, that's requests. Lord, I ask that you would minister here to so-and-so and that their need would be met here and that you would do this in this, these family members, this one and this one, this particular thing here, gosh, you'd turn, change his heart, you'd bring healing here, you'd open eyes here, that you would meet this need, give wisdom, all different kinds of things. Our requests are part of worship. We are demonstrating, if we approach this thing with the right attitude, we are demonstrating our confidence, otherwise we wouldn't be praying in the first place. We are demonstrating our dependence on God. Those are our acts of worship. Our request time, if it's done with the right attitude, if it's done with the right motive, which prayer ought to be in general, is an act of worship. It isn't just the praise and thanksgiving aspect of it. It's the whole thing. And he says in verse 2, because he's just poured out, he just says, Lord, I need help and I need it in a hurry. That's verse 1. And then he says, let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Okay? In the tabernacle, in the temple, be the tabernacle at this point, incense was offered. You go into the first compartment of the temple. You have the table of showbread, you have the lampstand, and you have right in the middle, in front of the curtain, a little altar that's about a foot and a half square and about four and a half feet tall. And that's the altar of incense, and they would burn incense on that every evening. When Zechariah went into the temple in Luke chapter 1, and he's told that he will have a son, referring to John the Baptist and so on, that's what he was doing. He was going in to burn the incense on the altar of incense. And that was done as an act of worship. It's an obedience. That was the rules that were there in Leviticus. By the way, that's what that's all about. The evening sacrifice, again, something was done on a daily basis. There was an evening and morning sacrifice. These were acts of worship. The sacrificial system was, as a major component, an act of worship. And he is saying, let my prayers, the prayer that I have just made and the one that I'm going to continue with, which is a request, may it be as pleasing to you. May it be recognized as the act of worship that it is, just like the burning of incense and the offering of the sacrifice. May, Lord, you recognize it as such. And then he's got some very interesting things here. Because we're going to, as we get further into this psalm, we're going to find that David's dealing with a conflict. That's often the case with David. He's dealing with a conflict with somebody else. Probably an invading nation or something of that nature. If I'm in conflict and I'm asking for God's help, if I'm wrestling with the bad guys, now we, in our comic book mentality, we have good guys and bad guys. When we were little kids, ages ago, when we actually had cap guns and stuff, we had cops and robbers. All right, we had good guys and bad guys. You had, you know, black hats and white hats with your cowboys. All right, we have this dichotomy, and of course, most of the time, we assume that we are the good guys. After all, I'm praying for God to intervene on my behalf, and I'm praying that God would give me victory over the situation. I'm assuming I'm the good guy. Let's make sure, and that's what the next two verses are. Let's make sure that we're in the right. If I'm wanting to be victorious in a conflict, let's make sure that I'm in the right. Because we have a tendency to jump to the conclusion that we are. And let's not do that. Let's make sure that we are. So, verse 3. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. I have in the outline, keep me from saying what I ought not. We need to do this a lot. We need to bite our tongues. That can be very hard to do. Especially when you think of the really snappy comeback. Oh, I could burn them with this. I better not say that. But you want to say it because it'll make you look so good and make them look so bad. May I be careful in what I say? We need to make sure that we recognize the fact that our testimonies are valuable. That one word can undermine years of reputation. May I not say anything that's going to be a stumbling block? May I not say anything that's going to be a hindrance? May I guard my tongue? May I not say anything that I shouldn't say? Set a watch O Lord, before my mouth, keep the door of my lips. One of the things that is very scary for me is I have to do this. I have to get up here and I have to talk. And I have to be very careful that I don't say anything I shouldn't say. Now, one of the benefits is the closer I stick to the Bible text, the less likely I am to say anything I shouldn't say. If I start giving my opinions and telling stories and going all, I can get myself in trouble. Lord, may I not say anything I shouldn't say, and may I say only what you want me to say. And that should be true to everybody, all of God's children, whether they're behind a pulpit or just in our daily goings on. Guard our tongues. Guard our tongues. Some people struggle with that more than others. I have known people that if they're very, very quiet, they never say anything. And if they do say something, listen carefully because it's going to be good. Better to be that than the person who talks all the time and you have to filter through 98% of what they say to find, just that little very thin coat of cream on the top. Let's better to have a pint of cream than 2 gallons of skim milk. Okay. Verse 4. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity. Let me not eat of their dainties. So, Lord, keep me from doing what I ought not. Now, this actually ties in very well with the morning service. I don't plan on this, but they have a tendency to dovetail. Sunday school and morning service have a tendency to dovetail. We start out by thinking wrong. And if we're thinking wrong and have a pattern of wicked thinking, we will start talking about that. And our thoughts and our words end up becoming deeds. You have a process, a progression. And so he says in verse 3, Lord, guard my mouth, guard my tongue, guard my lips. May I not say anything I ought not to say. And then my heart, because what I'm thinking, what is found residence in my heart, my passions, is going to manifest itself in my deeds. I have to be very careful what I allow myself to get fixated on. At the wedding yesterday, there were probably 20 to 25% of the people that were folks that I have known for a long time and know by name. And some of the folks, I sat next to a guy, nice guy. He's a nice guy. Oh my word. He was excited. Before dinner was served, he is sitting there, he grabbed the silverware of the guy across the table from him and was pounding on the table with the guy's fork and picked up his knife and was pointing at him with his knife. Now the guy across the table was not in opposition to him, they were in agreement. But the guy was just really excited about something he was talking about and he's doing this. And I'm thinking to myself, and he's a believer. And the guy across the table from him was a believer. The guy across from me was not. And I'm thinking to myself, if these guys could get that excited about the things of God, that we could have had a great opportunity to witness to the fellow that's across the table. But instead, they're all excited about something else. And because it's found residence in his heart, because he's really passionate about this particular thing, I mean, he's just really, really excited about this. He's passionate about this. He's getting red in the face. Let's be careful what we allow ourselves to get super excited about. There's nothing wrong with getting super excited about certain things. If you want to holler for your team at the game, that's fine. But let's make sure that our fixations are properly channeled. Let's make sure that we get excited over the right things. Because the things of God ought to have supremacy in our heart. If the opportunity comes up, or even if it doesn't, this fellow just launched. It was kind of fun watching. And he's very animated. And I mentioned, you know, we could probably get him to be quiet if we handcuffed him. Because he couldn't be gesticulating and all that other stuff. Lord, keep me from doing what I ought not. Guard my thoughts, because my thoughts are going to result in actions. And if my thoughts are in the right place, my actions, for the most part, will be right as well. And then with that, the second part of the verse, he says, with men that work iniquity, let me not eat of their dainties. We were all told when we were kids not to run with the wrong crowd. When we were in grade school, I remember Mom telling me, I don't want you to be playing with so-and-so. Because whenever you hang out with so-and-so, you come home and you start doing, and I don't want that. Don't be hanging out with so-and-so. It's a bad influence. All right? We all got that lecture, hopefully. That doesn't change. That doesn't change. He's got that right there in verse 4. If you got people that are workers of iniquity, then don't hang out with those folks. And the idea that don't let me not eat of their dainties. Don't let me sit down with them and have them, you know, lure me with a cup of coffee or meet me for, you know, we try to hopefully have an evangelistic coffee time. Or maybe you there's somebody you've been wanting to talk to, and so you take them to lunch or take them out for a cup of coffee, and you're trying to get that opportunity. People that he's alluding to here are doing that same kind of thing to generate a response in a wicked way. They're trying to get you involved in something you ought not to be involved in. When we dealt with biblical separation in the past, understand that biblical separation, part of that is our personal separation from those that would lead us astray. Keep your finger here. Let's go to Psalm 1. Because you deal with the progression. You hang out with the wrong crowd, you're going to end up being like that crowd. Verse 1 of Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Okay, you see a progression. He's walking, and then he stands, and then he sits. Don't go there. Don't go there. Because if you do, you'll end up being like them. You know, the birds of a feather flock together kind of thing. Don't do that. Don't go there. Okay, back to Psalm 141. Here is, I pray for this for myself. Verse 5. Let the righteous smite me. It shall be a kindness. Let him reprove me. It shall be an excellent oil, which shall not break my head. For yet my prayer shall be in their calamities. All right, first part of the verse. Scratch that last one, and we'll come back to that. We really don't like it when somebody takes us aside, and hopefully they do it in the right way. They take us aside and says, you know, the other day I noticed that you said such and such, or the other day I saw you doing such and such, and I want you to know that I may be misunderstanding what was going on. I may not have gotten the whole thing, but it really bothered me, and I think that this is something that's not right, and I think this needs to be fixed in your life. Okay? That's what he's talking about. Now, we hate that. We just cringe. As a matter of fact, sometimes we want to react. We want to be defensive. Well, if you only knew why I was doing that, I was justified in what I said. I was justified in what I was doing. Back up. Take it for what it's worth. Most people don't care for confrontation. They don't like to be the recipient of that. And most people don't like giving that either. They don't like confronting people. That's part of my job that I have to do from time to time. It's not my favorite part. And he says, but David is asking for that to be the case. Now, again, why did he say what he said in verse 3? Why did he say what he said in verse 4? Why did he say what he said in verse 5? Because I'm in a conflict. And I want to make sure that in the conflict, I'm on the right side. I need to make sure that, by the way, sometimes bad guys fight against each other. It isn't always right versus wrong. Sometimes it's wrong versus wrong. It is never right versus right. Say, well, I don't, no. If you have conflict, the book of Proverbs says only by pride cometh contention. If I'm having a conflict with a brother in Christ, brother, sister in Christ, somebody is either doing or saying something wrong, or somebody is believing something wrong. If a brother and sister are in conflict, then somebody is wrong either in action, word, or belief. Otherwise, we'd be shaking hands, right? We wouldn't be having the conflict. But bad guys can fight each other. So if I'm in a conflict, I want to make sure that I'm in the right. Lord, if I'm in the wrong, let me see it. Allow me to see it. Please let me see it. We need to make sure that we are desirous. Lord, rebuke me, humiliate me if necessary, but may I be in the right. And if I'm in the wrong, let me know, and may I repent, and may I get it right, because I want to make sure that, because why do we want to be in the right? So we can justify ourselves? No, we want to be in the right because that's what's honoring to the Lord. All right, we're going to stop here, pick it up next week. But make sure that when we're in a conflict, we're in the right. And that includes motives. That includes motives. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Father, may we remember that it's not about us, it's about you. And Father, when we're dealing with conflict, when we're dealing with difficulties in life, Father, may we be willing to accept the wrong. May we be willing to be humbled or even humiliated or shamed if we're in the wrong. And if we're in the right, Father, I pray that we would not exercise our rights and boast, because then it becomes the wrong. Father, your glory is the key. Father, may that be the case. We pray for Christ's sake. Amen.